or obligated to watch the games. Now
Yeah,
I'm
Sam Howell might
actively
be pretty good.
exactly. Now I actively want to watch the games. All right, anyway, let's get started. Go Gogs.
Well, the movie podcast. That's right, movie the podcast. It is the end of Stoptember. We watched a movie, a Japanese film called Junkhead.
Not in Japanese, actually.
No, in gibberish.
Yeah, but it's in Simlish. Yeah, it's like it reminded me of the Sim.
But it's also 1600 years in the future, so it makes sense that language has evolved.
I thought that was cool. I was kind of worried. You know, a lot of times when we put the foreign stuff on there, the subtitles are kind of a mixed bag. But this one, I was like, oh, there's no need. It's subtitled no matter what.
Now, in this movie, like from a production standpoint, I'll just say it, and then we get into everything else. I don't know how. I mean, they showed you how they made it during the credits, but I am
one person.
One dude,
blown,
7 years.
I am blown away by like how they shot. Like, I'm.
This is, and I'm sure this is going to be brought up a ton, but this is very similar, actually, in plot as well to Mad God.
Came out the same year too.
Did it really?
Yep, both came out in 2021. I was shocked.
Oh, I thought this came out way earlier.
There was a short that came out.
This was 2017.
Yeah,
2017.
There's a short, I think, that came out 2017.
But anyway, we watched Junkhead. An interesting film. I'm interested to see how everybody feels about it. I won't spoil how I felt about it. But what did you all watch this week? Out.
Oh my god.
I watched two things.
Two things.
The first thing, well, actually, I guess it was within the past couple of weeks. The first thing I watched was Beetlejuice.
Oh, how was that?
Which I didn't realize that was the name of it until we went to go see it. I just thought it was Beetlejuice.
Yeah, stupid title.
Again, I don't know why. I just didn't. I don't know.
Thought they were going to Mortal Kombat you.
Yeah.
I thought it was. It wasn't bad. It's not like great, and it's not as good as the original. But it's a good Tim Burton movie. Like, it's better than.
I mean, that's high praise nowadays, right?
I mean, like, it's not as good as Beetlejuice. I think you guys listed a bunch of the movies in the text the other day.
Yeah, we were talking about Tim Burton analog.
And I would probably agree with those lists that it's not as good as most of those. Although I don't remember seeing Paranorman show up on those lists, and that movie fucking rocks.
I forgot.
He didn't do Paranorman.
That. No,
he did
Frank and Weenie. Frank and Weenie.
I like to do Frank and Weenie.
I thought Frank and Weenie kind of sucked.
Oh. Take that, bitch.
Oh.
No.
Okay. No. I got to hold that L.
Dark Shadows.
Yeah, we love Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
Like a shocking, stirring triumph. Out of nowhere.
Yeah, I do like a movie that everyone hated, and we were like, why did people hate this movie? Like, a movie that was genuinely, like, funny, too.
And we went into that, like,
we were dreading that. We were not looking forward to it.
I do that Michael Keaton said he only wanted to be in the movie for a little bit because he's only in the first one for a little bit, but that just screams, like, I don't feel like doing this. Like,
but I thought it's not, like, incredible. But it was fun enough and had enough good points or enough good things to it that it made it enjoyable. Michael Keaton is good as Beetlejuice again. Like, it's a really great character. Catherine O'Hara is great as always. Like, she never phones it in. Although I feel like she might be in danger of Rooster Cogburning her career.
Oh, no.
As being like the character Moira shit.
Oh, she's doing Moira's voice the whole time?
How is Jeffrey
Jones in the movie?
He's not
conspicuously absent.
His corpse is in it. But he's not in it.
Goddamn.
Jenna Ortega is really good. Like, I think she's a really good actress. She's good in it. Or Jenna Ortega, whatever her name is.
Yeah, Jenna Ortega. She's good.
She's good. Some of like the plot twists you see coming from like a mile away, but overall it's pretty enjoyable. I thought it was pretty fun. Not as good as the original, but I really love the original Beetlejuice.
Yeah, Alec. Let me ask, because I read this and I don't know how you took it. I guess people said something to Tim Burton about how the Wednesday show wasn't very diverse. He's like, I don't have to put black people in my movies if I don't want to. And then this one, the only black people in it are in like a fucking Soul Train gag.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, down
yeah, Soul there's Train. Not, there's not very many people. I mean, Jenna Ortega is technically a person of color.
Right.
Technically. But, like, you gotta want a technicality.
You were technically correct. That's kind of correct.
But yeah, there's a huge like Soul Train gag.
Is Don Cornelius this?
God, I don't want to alarm you, but I'm pretty sure Don Cornelius has been dead for like 40 years.
Yeah, he's no. I keep telling you, he's 87 years old and he's dead. And he's dead. Granted.
Why don't we just dig up Al Jolson? Remember what happened the last time we did that?
Oh, yes, he's dead. Rather pungent.
Yeah, Beetlejuice, not bad. Not the best thing I've seen, but not bad. Better than I expected.
I've honestly not heard a negative thing about the movie, and I really need to watch it. I've been to the theater twice since it's been out, and I haven't watched it yet. So at this point, I feel like I'm just going to wait till it pops up on the internet. But I'm actually looking forward to watching it. I was dreading it before it came out, but the word of mouth has been pretty strong.
Perfectly cromulent raves Alec Erith.
The other movie I watched is a movie that somehow I've never seen. And also there's another movie kind of related to it that somehow I've never seen. I watched Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, I love that movie.
Which I'd never seen. I've also never seen Spinal Tap.
Oh, wow. You gotta watch Spinal Tap, dude.
Spinal Tap's an absolute triumph.
That's like legitimately one of my favorite movies like ever. I can watch that movie over and over.
Impossibly quotable Spinal Tap.
Well, I mean, all the Christopher Guest stuff is so good.
I don't know. After watching Waiting for Guffman, maybe I'll pass on Spinal Tap.
Oh, wow.
Really? I thought...
Alec's not wrong by his... what I'm assuming, like, that the move is not very good. I kind of agree with him.
I didn't love it. It's one of the weird ones. I loved parts of it. I loved the weirdness of the fact that in the play, it's all about the town's history, and then there's a part about the UFO.
Yeah,
and they just like have a spaceship and aliens in the middle. Like everybody's doing the same characters that they do in other things, which is fine because they're great character. It's great character work, but I just didn't love it. Like I just kept thinking, like I can see where this is the earlier movie, and then Best in Show came after it, where like Best in Show is a fucking triumph.
Yeah.
Like
Best in Show's best movie.
Have you seen
For Your Consideration?
I have.
Yeah,
I like that. It's Best in Show is.
I think Mighty Wind is
Spinal
better.
Spinal Tap, then Mighty Wind, then Best in Show.
It's Best in Show, Mighty Wind, and then For Your Consideration. I think that was a three stretch. Yeah,
technically Spider Tap. It's technically Spinal Tap doesn't count because it's a Rob Reiner movie. But
what was that movie he made for Netflix or whatever that nobody ever talks about anymore?
Mascots. It was all right.
Didn't he do a show on HBO too called Family Tree?
That show was very good. Hang on a second. Lychee! Stop.
Lychee, calm down. Uh-oh.
He's going for Cherimoya's food, but she has to have special food.
Oh.
Because she's got urinary issues.
Oh. But relatable.
That Family Tree show was really good.
Yeah, I need
it
to
only
watch
lasted that. Like a season or two, and it focused on I think Chris O'Dowd was the main character.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it was excellent. Like I really loved it. Waiting for Guffman just like it had its moments, and like you can see where the beginnings of some of the work he did for characters in other movies, especially Best in Show, came from. Like Fred Willard's his antics, and then he's as the announcer for the dog show. Like he's basically the same character.
Mm-hmm.
And this and that, which is a great character, but it's so much better fleshed out in Best in Show. And I've seen that so many times. It's hard to separate seeing the earlier version and be like, oh yeah, that's great. When I know how much you think I can bench. 500 pounds. Like,
that's a fair point.
It's hard to separate it. But it's not bad. It's not terrible. I prefer the
later work.
Yeah. Like, I prefer seeing the, like, more fully formed, later works.
It's like going back and playing Marvel vs. Capcom 2 first, or Marvel vs. Capcom 1, and then playing Marvel vs. Capcom 2.
I don't know where he went. But Waiting for Guffman, okay.
Okay,
Alec. That's all I watched, I think. I started watching what's on Netflix now, which I don't understand. I can't follow all these streaming cross promotional things they have going on. Band of Brothers is on Netflix for some reason, and I started watching that again, and it's fucking tremendous. It's so
good. It's a great show.
I never watched The Pacific, but I'll probably watch that.
That's really good too. Yeah.
I'll probably watch that next because I never watched it, but I'm like halfway through Band of Brothers. And goddamn, it's so good. And there's so many people in it that it's kind of like when I go back and watch Black Hawk Down.
Oh yeah,
I forget how many actors like so young are in this show. Yeah, show came out in like 2002, 2001, something like that. But like so many people, so many young actors who are probably like in their like very early 20s are in it. And you're like, holy shit! Like, I didn't know at that point because I didn't know who they were or hadn't seen enough of their stuff. Like, James McAvoy's in it. He's in an episode.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, is that like, he's so baby faced and like fresh faced. I barely even recognized him. I was like, oh shit, that's James McAvoy. And the guy who played Abraham in, The Walking Dead is in it. And he's really good. And like, I kind of think he sucks as an actor, but he's really good in, and that, and there's just so many people. And the guy, I can't remember his name, that plays Major Winters is so fucking good.
Oh, that guy's great.
Damien something. I can't remember his last name. But he's tremendous. But man, that show kicks a pile of ass. And it's so fucking sad. But also awesome.
Oh, yeah.
100%. But I don't, it's an HBO show. HBO has their own streaming service. So why the fuck is it on Netflix? Well, I don't understand it.
It's like the fucking Batman cartoon show. Like, why is that on Prime? Like, what? Yeah. Like, what?
I mean, it's just a licensing thing. I'm sure Netflix is like, we'll give you whatever. No one's streaming it on your service. You want to expose your somewhere else? And then just like.
Yeah, I guess that's true. You're probably right there, Gogs, because it's showing up on Netflix is like top 10 every day. So you probably got a whole different clientele of people that are checking it out now.
Yeah,
HBO. I mean, you gotta figure that out. That show came out. Netflix is getting people watching it.
Show is like 20 like, plus yeah. years. Like, it came out during like fucking 9/11. Like it was like that was on that week.
I'm sure there's not a lot of people that are like signing up for HBO Max just to watch Band of Brothers. Although I don't know anybody signing up for anything anymore.
Because yeah,
I
feel like
everybody's got everything they want at this point, or that they're going to get.
Yeah, I'll subscribe. Well, at some point, I don't know if the whole season just came out. Season 2 of Tulsa King either just came out or just started. So at some point, I'll subscribe to Paramount for a week just to watch that.
I'm just giving my login because I keep forgetting to cancel Paramount Plus.
There's a lot. You shouldn't cancel. There's a lot of good stuff on there.
Oh, it's all of Comedy Central. I've just been binging Detroiters and
that's where you can watch the Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
The show and the tremendous, tremendous movies. There's something else I watched too, but I can't think of what it was. So we'll say that's it. TJ.
I watched one thing, but it was a monumentally horrible thing. A rare 0 stars on my Letterboxd.
Oh, I saw your post on Facebook.
Yeah, I saw your TikTok about it.
I watched Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis.
What a fucking name.
He kind of phoned that in. That was like
phoned it in
day, right? Like,
bro,
that was
he spent $140 million of his own money on this fucking piece of garbage. Bro, this is one of the worst fucking movies. Like, I'm talking like Vengeance Squad 7 Dark Summoning or whatever. This is like Shark Exorcist. This is like The Room.
There's no way legitimately worse than Shark
Exorcist. I will pay for your ticket to go watch it.
Okay.
It's probably shorter.
God damn.
Or longer.
No, it's 220.
Shark Exorcist was like 48 minutes.
It's 220. And it is the longest two hours and 20 minutes of my life. Everyone talks like Tommy Wiseau read Shakespeare and then tried to write an opera. Like, it is the most static, weird-ass dialogue I've ever heard in my life. I played a clip for Sean from just one of the scenes. And he's like, oh, this is satire, right? And I'm like, I don't think so. The movie's played way too serious to be fucking satire. If it is, like, it went over my fucking head. What is it satirizing? A good movie?
It's going to be a retroactive satire.
100%. Like I said in my review, I think I can't wait for in a few months when some 4-hour essayist is going to tell me that this is like a secret masterpiece. I hated every single frame of this film.
What the fuck cost $140 million?
I have no idea. Because one, it looks like garbage. Like,
it's all green screen, right?
I would think so. And the thing is, I was kind of like, I remember seeing previews like months ago. And they were saying that they used a lot of like weird, like kind of silent film visuals, like weird representations of like the day night cycle and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. I like that kind of stuff. There is one scene that is kind of interesting where Giancarlo Esposito has a dream and a hand like grabs the moon and pulls it into a cloud. And that's like a cool, very like 1930s silent film kind of visual. But the movie is immediately ruins it because he wakes up and he's like, I had a dream where a hand grabbed the moon. And it's like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, this movie is so stupid. And like, it feels like there's like 7 hours of storyline somewhere, but in the 2 hours that this movie it takes on, there is no plot. Like, the plot of this movie is just impenetrable.
The clip you showed me looked like a fucking not Cloud Atlas. What's the the one I like with
Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah.
Very similar to that, except Jupiter Ascending had some fun scenes, and at least it had character motivations that I understood. And I guess the movie is about Adam Driver, who is like this genius architect developer who he discovers this element called Megalom. I'm not making that up.
And it is like a fucking Ayn Rand story.
Yeah, it felt very like it's the Fountainhead. I said this to Sean. Oh yeah, and Atlas Shrugged too, right?
Yeah,
I forgot. This movie is very Southland Tales. Like, it reminded me so much of Southland Tales because, like, there's this like apocalyptic vision. There's this element that's come out of nowhere. Like, remember in Southland Tales, you had liquid karma. It's about like, it's supposed to be a critique on society, but replace like 9/11 hysteria with like Trump era hysteria. It's just so fucking bad. There's several allusions to Hitler for some fucking reason in this movie.
Threats to the UN.
You said the sauce was very rough. Did a dog write horrible. This?
Or like spaghetti and tomato.
You said that the pasta tasted like bark. I hated. There's literally nothing.
Wait a minute. If it's like an anti-Trump like hysteria.
Sean, I don't know what it is.
Let me finish, sir. Can I finish? Can I finish?
Sorry about it.
Okay, I'm
finished. Yeah. If it's like an anti-Trump kind of paranoia thing, but isn't it also like a great man story? Like, yes. The great 100%. Man will save us.
Again, okay, goes,
that makes zero sense.
It circles way back to the Ayn Rand kind of thing. And it's like I said to you, you know, the Adam Driver character, like you in that clip that I sent you, it you were like, he sounds like he's doing an impression of Elon Musk. And it's like, I think we all know by now that the great man thing just isn't true. That doesn't happen. Right. Like Elon Musk is a prime example of that. Like, remember in the early 2000s when people thought he was like a fucking real life Tony Stark. Yeah. And now we've learned that he's just like a fat meth head that like doesn't know what the fuck he's doing and just has a lot of money and just happens to invest in the right companies some of the time. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that story is so tone deaf these days. And again, like, the movie just goes fucking nowhere. And then like the cast is all fucking wacky, where it's like you got Dustin Hoffman that they fucking dug up out of a fucking crypt. You got fucking what's his name from fucking Anaconda? John Voight shows up. Shia LaBeouf is in it.
So he really was just going out of his way to get all the like
canceled. Well, he made a comment about it. Like, he's like, oh, this is a commentary on cancel culture. Remember? Because he's getting canceled too. Because apparently, like, well, I didn't know this until this movie came out, but Coppola has been known to be like a huge piece of shit for years. And the guy that directed Jeepers Creepers, I can't remember his fucking name, but he's like a convicted fucking pedophile. And Coppola basically funded his early career. He made this movie.
Yeah, but have you seen Jeepers Creepers? That shit rules.
Yeah. Well, he funded this director's like early career. I can't remember the name. It's called like, it's some horror movie I don't think they ever released. It's called like Clown House or something stupid. But anyway, I'm pretty sure. Like, honestly, I think it is. It's that dumb. But anyway, there was like a 12-year-old kid that like basically said that he got fucking, you know, sexually assaulted on set, and Coppola basically told him to keep his mouth shut or he'll never work again, and gave him like hush money. And it's like, as soon as you hear something like
that, that kid ended up being Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. But as soon as you hear something like that, you're like, fuck it. And then apparently on the set of Megalopolops, like, I guess there's like all this video of Coppola being like super inappropriate with everybody on set, and it's just like, yeah, fuck this guy. Like fuck him. Like, and fuck this movie. This movie is going to be a bigger fucking bomb than fucking Borderlands, which is hilarious.
$5 million from Thursday to Sunday.
That's hilarious on a $140 million budget that he funded. So hopefully it'll put him in the poorhouse, and then he can go to wherever fucking pedophile defenders go. Also, another Triumph for Lionsgate. Another Triumph for Lionsgate, by the way, because famously no one would wanted to distribute this piece of crap, and I can understand
why.
What
was their last massive bomb recently?
Borderlands.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Borderlands. So anyway, yeah, that's all I watched this week. So Gogs.
I watched.
Turning my air on. It's very warm.
I watched two things. I watched. I just say I watched 1 3/4 things. I watched the rest of a movie I talked about last time called...
Well, that movie is called Clown House.
Oh, shit.
It's from 1989.
In the middle of Clown Street.
Nice. I watched... What the fuck?
I'm sorry, I'm still processing that boy grew up to be Kevin Spacey. I can't deal with it.
Was a good one.
So I watched the rest of that movie on Shudder. I was watching the other week called All You Need Is Death, which is just about these two people going around Ireland collecting songs that had never been recorded for reasons. And it ended up being this sort of weird witchcraft, demon summoning, like just kind of like artsy. I don't know if I disliked it. I don't know if I cared for it. I got to like watch it again, but it was something. Like, it was unlike most things I've seen. And it's like the central premise about like finding these, like this ancient song that had been like passed down from generation to generation of women. And then a man hears it And then that ruins everything.
I don't hate that premise.
No, it's like
it's
A Thousand Wild. Miles by Vanessa Carlton.
Nah,
great song.
It is a great song. I'm not gonna lie.
Nope. It's catchy as hell.
That piano fill rules, but.
Give it a whirl. If you got Shudder, give it a whirl. I'm gonna revisit it. It is just, it's fucking strange. It's one of these. PJ will have feelings about it, I think, one way or the other. He's either gonna love it or he thinks it's gonna be trash. I don't think he'll be middle.
I'm gonna watch it, but you told me not to watch it.
Well, now I'm telling you maybe to watch it because, like, after the first 20 minutes, it turned a corner into something that I thought was interesting.
All right. So, and it's on Shudder, right?
It's on Shudder. So I watched that. I've been binging Detroiters. Suggest everyone does that. That show rules. And then I watched Inside Out 2 with my family because it just came out on Disney Plus. And I must say, pretty good movie. And if you struggle with anxiety, an interesting movie, because that's what the whole movie's about. And it's an interesting take.
Did they change all the
what that means.
The second one.
They did. Like, so Bill Hader's not in it anymore. He's now being voiced by Tony Hale. So Buster Bluth. Mindy Kaling is not back as Disgust. I didn't recognize the woman who was playing Disgust. Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman's daughter is one of the prominent new characters they added. She voices the new emotion of anxiety.
Massive cans.
Oh. I was going to say, she plays the emotion of huge cans.
Does she, or are we talking about Susan Sarandon's daughter?
No.
Both.
They both do, but yeah, they both do. But, yeah.
So Maya Hawke, she was good in it. It's a Pixar movie, and apparently it's the biggest animated film of all time, I guess, by box office.
It's only funny allegedly. Because, like, but after the last Pixar release didn't do, like, as well as they expected, like, oh, Pixar's dead, and it's like, yeah, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, what was their last one? I think was that Lightyear, which I liked a lot. I thought Lightyear was really good.
Well, it didn't do well because it's woke.
Well, yeah,
it had a gay character, so it didn't.
God forbid.
I know.
Yeah, Inside Out was like a huge hit, and then they fired everybody that works there, so they didn't get a bonus, I think.
Well, no, there's Inside Out 2 is what they did. Inside Out 2, they fired everyone before it was released.
Right. That's what
they're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, okay, no.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, so you know what? That's Big Mouse for you. Big Mouse make money. But that's it. I did see all those ads for Megalopolis, and I was like, anything with just... Like, I deal with architects every day. I don't want to fucking watch a movie about, like, an architect with, like, godlike power.
He's like a magical. Oh, I'm not going to talk much more about this movie, but it's such a weird part of the movie, but it's ultimately, like, inconsequential. He can control time.
They tell it in the trailer. Like, he stops time in the trailer.
He doesn't, like, do anything with it. Like, he just stops time. And then
I'd be doing all sorts of pranks.
Oh, yeah, of course. I just, like, shit on the floor at random places.
Like, everyone's pants would be falling down all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Be fucking, like,
I would just commit mild sexual assault, Raves Goggs.
No, not their underwear. Just their...
Okay, that's fair. Yeah.
Their overwear.
Just regular pants.
I like the phrase mild sexual assault.
The,
It's like the breakfast salsa of it's sexual like, assault. Say,
right. Like, sexual assault has got like it's like mild, hot, and fire.
Yeah, but no. If you architects already have like they love the smell of their own farts to start with, so give them like godlike powers.
More like fart architects.
Fucking nice. Miss me with that.
Oh, it's terrible. If anybody here likes this movie, I would be. And I know Sean tends to like enjoy the big swings, even when they're like huge misses. But I can't fathom he would enjoy this movie. But I'm looking forward to it coming out. Or like I said, I will pay for Sean's ticket.
Don't worry about it because it sounds like it's going to be on fucking VOD tomorrow.
We're gonna watch it for the show, aren't we?
Oh damn it! All right,
million percent.
One more fucking thing about the movie, and then I will shut up about it. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned this. So, in certain screenings of the film, there was actually a fucking person that they hire, an actor,
that goes up to the screen at one scene. And by the way, after seeing the movie, this scene is, we lost Sean. After seeing the movie, this scene is so fucking inconsequential and stupid. I don't understand this, but there is an actor that plays like a reporter and he stands up against the screen and talks to the fucking screen. And then Adam Driver responds to it. You could actually go to certain theaters. Like there's one theater in Virginia where you could have seen this in person.
What happens when the actor isn't there?
Nothing. There's a track that asked the question the actor was going to ask. That's all. That's what I'm saying. That having the actor there, which God only knows how much that adds to their fucking budget, it did nothing. Like the scene is
pointless. Immersive experience.
Yeah, but like for nothing. Like oh God, that fucking movie is so bad.
Anyway. All right. Well, anyway.
Well, it's Sean's up now, but we lost Sean. Hold on. Let me text him. Vamp, please.
I mean, all my... I mean, I'm not mad at everybody dance now, so we can just continue with that.
Oh, there he is. Thank God.
He's back. Oh, he's so fucking back.
Sean, you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
All right, what'd you watch this week, buddy?
I didn't watch any movies. I watched the first 2.5 seasons of The Conners. It's on Netflix.
Weird. Okay. And how was that?
I love Roseanne. It's actually better than Roseanne, this show, because she's not in it. And, like, I didn't realize how much of the show was like...
Kiss my ass!
Didn't she get canceled because of that or some shit?
Well, she got canceled because she said that a high-ranking government official reminded her of Planet of the Apes and then blamed it on fucking...
Adderall?
No. What's the sleepy shit? Ambien. But it's good because it's like shit you don't see. Like it's loosely a sitcom, but it's about poor people whose lives never go right. But like it's treated very realistically. I don't know.
How do they address Roseanne not being there?
She died of a pill overdose.
Oh. She's not returning videotape the whole time.
Hopefully, art imitating life. Am I right, everybody?
Come on. I wish.
Kill that old bitch. Did you hear her the other day? She was at some fucking Republican thing, and she's like, "They're not only eating cats; they're eating babies. They're real life vampires. People say I'm crazy, but they're really vampires." And it's like, bitch,
are vampires known? Are vampire lore deep with baby eating? I don't recall that.
No. I think some babies have been eaten. I think Vlad, the original Vlad, the Impaler from Wachovia National Bank, or wherever the fuck he's from, ate a few babies. From
Wachovia National Bank.
I feel like he's from Romania, like yeah, Transylvania.
It was 1,000% Romania, but I like Wachovia National Bank. Also, Francis Ford Coppola directed Dracula. That movie's great. What happened?
Yeah, he directed The Godfather. That was pretty good.
Like Apocalypse Now. Bang.
But he didn't write any of those. This is like a Lucas thing because he wrote this. Anyway, sorry. Continue.
Yeah. No, and I watched a couple of the Jesus Christ, Evangelion, End of Evangelion movies.
It's been fun. Not talking End of, to you.
But
you watched the rebuilds.
Yeah, the rebuilds. I watched 2 and 3 because the first one's just like.
The first one's just a recap of the
right. It's just a basic retelling, but they changed second, third. I love that shit, man. Like giant robots never die for me.
I'm really glad you like it. It is without a doubt, Evangelion is like possibly my favorite piece of media, just in general. Like I think it. I don't know. It has a very, very special place in my heart. And you haven't seen the final rebuild film,
no.
Right? That shit legit made me tear up at the
end. Is that on anything?
It's on the Plex.
Oh shit!
I put all of them on there.
I don't know, man. Like
in the show, the show's on there too.
It's funny, like how much as like an adult man, like I'm like, oh, just give me everything animated. Like I don't give a fuck about anything else anymore. Like I like movies to a point, but like I don't know. There's something about all you can do with animation that I appreciate, and like
I feel like. Japanese anime gets into character so well. I think like it does such a great job at that's why anime fans are so fucking passionate.
They take it seriously, you know, like it's meant to be. Well, sometimes when it's not like, you know, some of the other shit, but oh fuck, I'm just like yapping. What was I gonna say? Oh, and I'll talk about it with this movie. Like, I just want to see, you can't like a lot of times do sci-fi on a budget without it looking like shit. So like when you move into animation, it makes it a lot more visually captivating. And I think like as much as I used to just like movies for like the clever writing, and I still enjoy clever writing, don't get me wrong, but like I feel like that's more of a film bro kind of edge, not edgelord, but kind of like a young man's thing. Like I would watch movies like Brassed Off. Has anybody seen Brassed Off before? It's about Ewan McGregor and a fucking like marching band in Scotland. Like,
I like what the that fuck movie.
Like what I said, why, but like I'm fucking 17, like why, this is, you know, this is why I got like negative pussy until I was like, because you know, it's just like
what zero who, pussy what, does to a motherfucker,
right, watching. What young man, it's like what the fuck were we, oh, me and TJ were talking about, it's like if you go on a date with a girl she wants to watch fucking Schenectady, New York, it's like you better fucking leave because that bitch is insane.
I've dated that girl,
yeah,
a couple of them.
Like it's funny, I want spectacle, but like interesting spectacle, not just like,
you know, and the animation in those rebuild movies is unbelievable. There is some sequences in the second movie that are just mind-blowing, like,
you know, right, what I hate, though, like I haven't seen a lot of it, but do you remember when they, I guess they remastered the show in like 2007 ish
yeah.
And they do it like everything else with the remaster. They take all the color out of it, and it's like, why is this so fucking bland looking? Like, I like things to be colorful and fun.
I feel like the movies don't do that, though. The movies are great. But, wait till you watch the final rebuild. It's unbelievable.
That's all I watch. Big robots.
And like I told you, Analog, like, you have the benefit of not waiting literally 13 years for all those to be completed. I mean, it was crazy how long it took for those to get finished. Like there was a 3-year gap between the third and fourth movie, and it was just like, is this ever coming out? Anyway, that's everybody, right?
Yes.
All right, Gogs, what happened in Junkhead?
I'll put it on. I'm going to start by saying I'm not smart enough to understand what this movie was trying to tell you, but I can tell you what the movie.
I don't think it's a message movie. Super deep. Aside from being underground, I don't think this is like a, this is certainly not an art film
like,
at all.
Like the Living Dead were from the underground, as Method Man once said. Sorry. Good. Then I didn't miss it. I will tell you what happened in this film. I was a little high,
but
God's ripping blinkers.
So here's what's going on. Movie opens and you learn about that we are 1600 years in the future, and humanity has learned how to prolong their own lives artificially, but they forgot how to hook. So now they can't make kids. So what they have done is create a race of, not necessarily replicants, but some other, they've created a new form of life. The name escapes me. It's like Madrigal, but maybe it's not Madrigal.
It's something close to that. I don't recall.
Something akin to that. And this other race of creature was sent down into like the humans subsist in what amounts to hive cities. If you're familiar with the dystopian trope.
And they're all heads in jars in robot bodies.
Right, because everybody's kind of like, everybody's alive, but they're alive like in fucking.
I mean, you don't see it till later in the movie, but I love the like flash to like what human life is like, and the fact that you're basically like in, even when you're above the surface, you're in like a robot suit. It's just like a cool, like I thought that was
head,
a cool.
Here's the head in the jar. It's
that like, was a cool visual. Like I like him waking up. And like putting on his hair,
yeah, and his and, like, suit he's eating for no his reason.
Projection of fake food
is right, yeah, because he doesn't need to eat. And then right. the news, turning on the news and finding out that there's a new virus that killed like
200 million people,
30% yeah. of the
remaining human population. And he's gonna lose his job, and his job is I don't know what to ballroom dance with another robot in virtual reality.
Virtual reality dance instructor,
yeah. Right? So he's going to lose that. So he signs up. Well, you find this all out via flashback. But anyway,
yeah, this movie, is you so find this you, out later,
right? But not too much. Anyway, so you find so this. So it's 1600 years in the future. people, the remaining humans want to be able to get effectively their humanity back. They want to figure out why they're not thriving and why this other group is. Like, how can they procreate? How they can they become whatever again? And so then you're greeted to this robot that enters like a fucking dropship, and it starts falling through the crust of the earth.
TJ brought this up earlier, but it is like unintentionally, I guess, the exact same opening as Mad God. It's like a guy in a suit descending,
going down. Right now, also.
Except in Mad God, it's almost. I mean, again, there's like no dialogue in Mad God, but yeah. In Mad God, it's led to believe he's descending into literal hell. But
right,
anyway.
So, and I forget what order this happens, but then there's at some point you meet two what I like call like soldiers, and they're hunting a creature
looks like Tusken Raiders.
Yeah, and then they start speaking gibberish, but you're getting subtitles, and the whole movie's in gibberish. So it's in whatever future speak, some sort of Esperanto, that who knows what they're shooting this tree person thing that kind of looks like the bad guys from Last of Us.
It also kind of looks like the devil of the future from Chainsaw Man, if anybody's familiar with that. Like, and also, I guess I'll say this now. So this movie is a huge influence on a manga called Blame, which is a really cool manga, kind of about the exact same thing, about people living subterraneously. But then that manga is a huge influence on the way the devils look in Chainsaw Man. So there's like a whole influential sphere going on in this film.
And then Chainsaw Man was actually a huge influence on this.
Wait, hold on.
Real Ouroboros influence.
Too.
At this point, I assumed that the whole movie is supposed to be in America, because the first thing they want to do is shoot this thing.
Shoot it, yeah.
They're like, shoot it, and then they shoot it and kill it, and it turns into a tree. Then they're like, all right, burn it.
Burn it, yeah.
I assume that this takes place in the good old U.S. of A.
To this movie's credit, they do explain what all that is later on, which I didn't expect. Like, that's why I was a little surprised with Gogs. You were talking about you didn't really know what's going on, because, like, honestly, the movie is pretty.
No. I know what's going on.
Oh, okay.
You're looking for something thematic.
Yeah. I don't think there's any deeper meaning.
Don't think there's anything besides like the simulacrum of like soul crushing life. Like, I think that's all it is. Like,
he's just trying to flex nuts on his animation ability. Cause that's
I think it's just like, I think that the whole, like jumping forward, but whatever. I think the whole thesis statement of this movie is the guy that stood working that lever that he doesn't really know what it does for 400 years. Right, and he's just like, I'm so tired.
Also, that scene where he makes him the chair is so cute. He's like, oh, I love this. This movie's
also like, it's like dotted with like grotesque horror and body mutilation and nightmarish stuff, visuals, and then just like legit Keystone Cop slapstick humor.
It feels very like not so much Japanese as it does like European. Like, I don't know. It feels like a French movie almost.
It feels a little like Delicatessen.
Yeah, a little bit. It's like Shinya Tsukamoto's Delicatessen by way of Oddworld, Abe's Exodus.
Yeah,
but like
Oddworld. Whatever happened to that IP? What a great fucking
game. Oh, that guy, I think, got super canceled.
Well, those games were great. I love those Oddworld games.
So anyway, So these troopers like shoot this tree. The tree's angry. It's a little rowdy. So they missile launch the tree. So then the tree person turns into a legit tree, and then they burn that tree to the ground. Anyway, now the dropship is hurtling through the various levels of this hive, and some of these troopers see it fly by, and they radio to other troopers like, "Hey!" And at this point, these are the Madrigals. These are whatever this secondary races, and they are varied in their ultimate appearances and skill sets and abilities throughout the rest of the movie. So
the three main ones look like the guys from Among Us.
They're kind of minion adjacent, actually, until they get all like ripped and tan and juicy as fuck.
I
I love that they consider the guy their god.
Yes.
And then like anything happens, like, oh no, our god.
Yeah. There's also a really funny Nietzsche joke in here. Like, I can't believe I had to say that, but it's like, hey, God's dead, and I think we killed him.
Those guys are my favorite part of the movie, especially.
And they have like regular names.
Yeah.
Francis, they don't, Alexander.
They don't get named until late in the movie. At least they don't say their names. But they are my favorite part of the whole fucking movie. And again, I'm jumping ahead, but when they take their fucking Super Saiyan drugs and get huge, I was like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's so
great funny. Action set piece, like the camera moves and the choreography in this are fantastic. Like, it's unbelievable.
One fucking person did this, like, insane.
Yeah. So anyway, so the one group radios the next group, like, hey, something's coming by, better shoot it. So
Alex, this takes place in America.
Yeah. So they use they stinger missile this thing. It explodes, and now this what you thought was a robot. Because she didn't know at this point, gets shattered into pieces, and then they're found by these minions, and then the minions they find this head, and they take the head because they're out scavenging the whatever. What you think initially is like, oh, this has to be the bottom of this world, and it's really, you're just scratching the surface. They're looking for junk and
you're just scratching whatever, the surface debris of what's beneath the surface.
Yeah. So they take this detritus and they take it back to their boss lab monster man and like one of the nurses from Silent Hill and then like
nutsack on treads.
Nutsack. Yeah, he looked just like the boss looked just like reminded me of the guy from, I can't remember his name.
Oh, the mad scientist guy?
Yeah. So they're like, oh, check this shit out. And they like slap the side of the robot's head. And then you find out there's a man's face in there. And
that is horrifying.
It is horrifying. It's very Robocopian. Like, this thing is where this person's consciousness has lived for who knows, hundreds of years? You don't know. It's kind of lost his mind. So they make it a fresh baby body and they send it off to go, they name it. What do they just call it God, I believe.
Yeah, he doesn't get a name till later.
He doesn't get a name till later. So they send God out on a routine mission with the minions, and they're out looking for shit. And you learn about like the fauna and the hierarchy of this nightmare basement that they live in.
Yeah, and just to be clear, because if you're not familiar, so like literally all they live in are these like concrete corridors. That's like all of like that's their whole world, is these just fucking concrete hallways that they live in.
It's like MC Escher adjacent, and sometimes it's like the scale of which, like, and the scope later becomes almost like unimaginable.
Those are super cool shots too. Like, you don't get it early on, but later on in the movie where they cross like bridges and stuff and you see like it like pans out and you see how like massive these tunnelways and everything are. It's super cool.
Like, where he's like, almost just walk down that hallway for 2 days, make a right, go another go 2 days.
Upstairs for a day, yeah.
How they know what days are, though, I didn't understand. I was like, I wonder how they determine what a day is, because they have no sun. So, like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, they probably got a watch.
I guess that's true.
I mean, they do have the ability to make cybernetic bodies. So, anyway, there's all sorts of shit. There's, like, worms, there's things with needles for feet that shit out of babies' mouths, which are their anuses. Like, you've got...
It's a bunch of Resident Evil monsters.
Yeah, no, it's all very Umbrella Corp. And so, you know, circumstances happen, and our boy...
I love that he doesn't realize he's in that baby robot body, and he tries to fight them, and he's like, my attacks have no power.
my attacks have no effect.
No effect. Yeah.
Fucking hilarious. Pokemon-ass fucking dialogue.
So he gets his brain... He gets his brain cranked against a wall. I forget, was that from the big fist demon as opposed to the penis demon? At some point, he's hunting what looks like a penis demon. He comes across some fist demons. He gets worked. That's when you get the flashback. That kind of rattles his brain back to reality. And then now he's trying to run away from these people because he thinks he's being held captive. He tries to escape the minions and Dr. Spooky or whoever
I forget what specifically happens that makes him fall further at this point.
He gets chewed up by another one of those things and gets spit out, right? And then the big dick monster comes and knocks, just casually knocks him the rest of the way down.
Yeah. So now he's even further down the spiral, and once again they just find his head laying about, and now you're in this other tier of society where there's like, they look like they're like jacked ladies that are kind of like give off like Sonic and Knuckles vibes, like that are in charge of
also like a, luchador. They look like big noids without the ears.
Yeah, he ruins pizzas.
The trans noids.
Avoid the noids.
They are
also he loses his memory again because every time he gets hit in the head, his memory either goes away or comes back.
That's why it's hilarious later on when the fucking hunter guys, his big solution is just whack him in the head again.
They're trying to get a hard reset going on. So now we're in like a steam factory, and like all the ladies are going off for like an eat, pray, love. So they leave the men in charge. So then the men are like, cool, the ladies aren't but here.
The women are like, if you mess up, we will fuck you up when we get back.
And they do.
Yeah. And there's one pipe that is not working correctly, which is important.
Pipe number eight has been feisty. So anyway, they're like, fuck it. The ladies are gone. This guy's got a new body. He can no longer speak. He's just like an amalgam of trash.
He's a clanky clank robot now.
Yeah, he's trapped in there, and he's sweeping up. They call him Junker, and they send Junker to go get mushrooms, like two levels down, because they want to eat these. And this is just horrific. These are like dick mushrooms that grow off of the back of either living people or corpses. I can't exactly figure out which one.
I assume that they're a living.
They're growing them.
It's a very Cronenberg-esque scene. Like, it's funny because the guy that, or the, I should say guy, I don't know, the thing that's harvesting these mushrooms, right? He's very polite. He's like, oh, hold on, I'll get you some. And it's like these half torsos that are just like hanging off.
And he like exists on like a zip line.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're like not, like, I don't know, you know, their torsos on the wall. It looks like their head and their, their head and feet are through the wall. So I don't know if the rest of them exists beyond the wall and then just their torsos exposed to the harvesting side. Anyway, he gets his bag of dicks, and then the rest of the movie is him transporting this bag of dicks back to that world, but then it becomes, you know, an odyssey because
can you talk about the cool ass fucking elevator operator that does
the elevator operator, and away we go. Like the rizzed up, like he is out here, he is living his best life. He has this like Suzuki Hayabusa elevator, and he is just fucking just like rock and roll, like point, like in this movie, like he revs an elevator, for Christ's sake. Like he's having the best time. And so our robot has his lunch pail full of dicks, and he encounters just a guy, I guess, commuting through hell. And he's like, oh, I want some of those dicks. And he then cons him through a series of confidence schemes to get more and more dicks to get their passage. First, the elevator, then these three blood ogres, then who knows what else. But well, that guy
the blood ogres were like clearly not what he was saying.
They were not. Yeah, he's right.
Like, he was saying they were the three hunters. I forget what their names are, but like the three men from hell or whatever the fuck.
Alexander, Francis, and Charles
But it was like it was a cool ass nickname. I forget. It was like the ogres of hell or some shit like that. Yeah.
So anyway, he also ends up, like, there's more monsters. There's like a super like rib cage demon monster that reminds me of something from the 80s.
Did you mention the part where the con man, like, after he's taken all of his penises, like, is in a hallway like monologuing, and this spider monster just drops down and bites him in half?
Him in half. Like, it was fucking
And like, we're probably not doing justice how gross it is when this happens. It's like that scene from fucking A Frisky Dingo where he's talking about the pandas. And he's like, seriously, you could fucking guts out.
I mean, everything is like very gross and like it and kind of looks like a tool video. Like, if you remember those old
stuff. Oh no, it's like prison sex. Yeah. So, anyways, now we're introduced to, like, I guess what's now the big bad at some point. Like, he looks like he's from the Inhumanoids, if you remember that show. It's this fucking just super monster that's got like a rib cage for a mouth in the center of it. And it turned two hunters. Like, there's a hunter
The thing looks like a xenomorph, but if instead of like being implanted in a whole human, it was just implanted in the dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. There's two humans hunting a deer with like an M1 Garand harpoon situation. And then this thing shows up and it like peels two of them like bananas and just eats them. Our protagonist ends up coming across a Little Red Riding Hood and then her like tentacle armed buddy. And then at some point you're treated to their origin story about how they grew up together from infancy. And then you also find out about how like the Madrigals or whatever are all birthed from tree people, and the tree people, all the people from the tree. If you're looking for reproduction, that's what they do. And the good trees make good people and the mean trees make bad people. That's why they burn.
Did you ever mention when they sent him down there for the monster with the big dick, he's like trying to explain the big dick to the guys. They're like, oh, that's just his tail. Usually he's all furry.
Yeah. So that's, yeah.
They also use the dick as a transition because it swings in front of the camera until it totally blacks it out.
It's a literal wipe that happens. Yeah. So anyway, eventually he makes his way back to the base where the ladies were in charge, but they're still not home yet. But he's got the pail of rotten dicks because it took him, I don't know, let's say a week to do so. He's now befriended Little Red Riding Hood and Omega Red, and they're kind of lurking in the background. Now the eat everybody like bananas monster is loose past the fences or some such, and is now attacking the steam generation plant. Oh, also, he made his way all the way down to the bottom. I'm sorry. And he found the person tending tube 8. And that person for 400 years just works a lever to make sure there's enough fire going on. And he's like, if I do this, there's not enough fire. Then cuts to like everyone panicking. Going to hell. And then he fixes it. And then everybody's like, oh, everything's fine. And then makes that guy a chair because he's tired. I also
love in this world that there's always just a spare bin of like metal rods.
Just trash.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. So then the guy ends up falls asleep and then he fucking the world explodes above. But now the monster's here, so we gotta hire the three ogres from hell to hunt the monster. Then they show up and they're like, oh shit, they saw the body of God, and they're like, God's here, and he's in this junk robot. Did you guys know you guys were hosting God? And everybody's like, oh, we'll be known as the guys that saved God. And then the monster shows up. Then you're like treated just like to legit like fucking Dragon Ball Z like spin kick shit. And dude,
these fight scenes are so good. Like, yeah. So good.
The minions take some fucking, I don't know, monster energy drink and they get all
venom shit from Batman. The shit Bane takes.
So they get all juicy as hell, and then they fight this monster, then he gets impaled on some shit, but he doesn't die, and then
This just in, I'm sorry, Chris Christopherson just died, so I just wanted to mention
that. Yeah, I was gonna bring that up later on.
Rest in power. Also, R.I.P. Maggie Smith dead, so we lost two great ones this week, so... Also, the one cop from Beverly Hills Cop, also dead. They're just dropping like flies. So then, right, because Junkhead or Junkers or whatever, God, he wants to go find one of these trees, and they know where one is.
He lies to them a little bit, because they're like, what about the sky? Isn't it beautiful? And it's like, yeah, it is, but he doesn't know, because, like, his window is a fucking TV.
Yeah, but he's just doing them a solid.
Yeah.
He wants to give them hope, because there's a lot of, like, I hope I get to go to heaven, because I saved God.
That
part of the movie's really sweet. It's just like,
yeah. Like, because the world's like, I forget what exactly happens to cause the big collapse. That's something about the fight.
I know there's a lot in this movie, but I thought one of the funniest parts of this movie is when, I think it's when he gets his third body And they're like, he explains what his mission is, and he's like, oh, I came down to get the fucking, the dog's dick. And he's like, they're like, oh, that's not a dick, that's his tail, they just don't have fur right now. they used to have
his name
fur.
Is Toro.
Yeah,
I do love where he goes to get the fucking a lot of dicks, but he goes to get the mushroom dicks, and he like rings the bell, and then we answer, so he rings it like 50 times. The guy's like, "You only have to ring it once."
Yeah, once is enough. Yeah. Shit's great. Anyway, well, we're about to wrap up, so we're close to the end.
So yeah, the world's collapsing around them, and then two of the minions get crushed in a very touching moment. Like it's like super sad and tragic because they're like holding up this piece of concrete so that Junkers can escape. And then, like, as that's happening, their super juice is fading on them, so they know they're not going to be able to keep this up, and they basically say goodbye to each other, and they're like, I hope we get to see each other in heaven, effectively.
And the blood starts pouring out of their masks. I'm like, oh.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and then they get squished, and then everybody's like, all right, I guess we're going to the tree. And the movie just kind of ends on this weird note.
Well, it's such a great ending, because for me, I love when shit ends like this, because he's like, is Alexander the one that's left?
Yeah.
And he's like, do you think those two guys went to heaven? And Junker's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure they did. And then it just ends.
Yeah. Right. And so I guess our boy is resolved to be down there forever. Like, his mission.
Well, yeah,
like,
because the bridge to their town has been obliterated, like, on the way here, so...
Right, which was somehow connected to something, a bunch of pistons. It was held up by pistons, or it was like that fortress in that one Resident Evil movie where it's just held up negative by air differential. Pressure. Yeah, like so. Yeah, but that's this movie. It's I don't know if it's about like everyone looking to God, but then God not having the answers because God is coming to you for the answers. Like, I don't know what's happening in this, like, from a, if there is supposed to be a message. But it's an interesting, weird, like an oddly funny movie, and like touching and just beautifully, just unbelievably beautifully shot. Like having the movement of the camera through some of these shots is like, because it's not shot like a fucking play. You think it'd be shot like in a box and all you would see is the movement of the people, but, or the items, but it's done in such a way. That's infathomable.
There's some really interesting like tracking and like these whip pans where the camera kind of stutters a little bit. Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's so good. I kind of feel about this movie like I do about Mary and Max, but for exactly the opposite reason. Not that that movie wasn't like gorgeous too, but that movie's like all dialogue, right? That movie succeeds on the, you know, the speaking, and this movie succeeds for exactly the opposite reason. Like, I feel like the movie works almost as well if they have no dialogue. You know what I mean?
I was kind of expecting no dialogue, to be honest, when it first started, especially with that really long title card. Alec, would you say your favorite part of this movie was the fauna? That's the animals, right?
My favorite part was the bloodworms.
Oh, God. The bloodworms. Oh my God! I also liked how the bloodworms apparently just didn't like the body of. Spit them out. Those fucking bloodworms! Don't step on those. A scary worm will come out.
What kind of scary worm?
And I love how like they're just like they do the slow mo thing. I thought was funny. It was like, no.
Dude, when they're like tired of fucking wrestling with him, so they just throw him in that Indiana Jones cart, and the one guy
sits on him. Yeah, like, that's a good idea. those three were the best parts of the movie. I love those guys. So the bloodworms, huh, Alec? You like the
bloodworms? Yeah, I liked the bloodworms.
Yeah, the bloodworms are pretty sick.
I liked the part when, like, was it the one of the animals was chasing him. And then he got like, you thought he was going to get like super, I don't know, super awareness. And he's like jump tapping through the bloodworm tendrils.
Oh, right.
He just totally beats it. Steps on him. Like, he does the first step perfectly. And you're like, he's like a superhero. Then it's like, wham.
No, well, he's a dancer. And then he gets taken apart by six of them at once. Yeah. Also, I like in that scene ends with like one of the dog things like fucking with his head and then just knocking it off the ledge, which is the most like fucking animal thing ever. Just like, fuck this thing. I really like this movie a lot. I thought this was like visually so compelling to watch. I thought that despite the kind of plot being, again, kind of oppressive and ultimately kind of depressing, I thought like it was like kind of funny and like had a lot of heart at the end of the day. Like, I even like the, I felt like the one, if I had a, like a small criticism of the movie, I thought that the I don't even know what you would call him, but the creature that he finds kind of on his way back to the second village, the one in the hood, which I think is supposed to be one of the tree people.
The trees, yeah.
It has the tree
bark. Yeah, she's like a mother tree.
Yeah.
She has the tree bark eyes. I thought that her character was a little underdeveloped, but I liked the interaction that they had together where it's just, she's just like, oh, can you make me beautiful? And he's like, oh, you don't need to be beautiful.
Yeah.
And then they dance. I was actually expecting her to be more, like, I thought she was going to be a tree that grew.
I thought she'd be a key to like getting them back to
being able
to procreate or some such.
And I don't know the circumstances around this movie, but I wouldn't be surprised if like there was probably another 20 minutes to the screenplay.
Well, he said there's three of these planned, but who knows?
There you go. Even better. That makes a lot more sense than with the ending, because the ending is definitely kind of abrupt. But yeah, I'll watch another one of these. Absolutely. Also, how did one person fucking make this movie? It's absolutely insane.
And like, he had never made a movie before, and he was like almost 40. And he's like, I was reading an interview that they did with him. And he's like, yeah, I just thought, you make the thing, you move it, and you take a picture. How hard could that be?
Like, wow. And he did all the voices too. Like, it's funny. And watch the credits. It's literally just like all his name. It's like, I watched the credits. Just, I got out of the movie. Just, I put it on this morning and it just kept playing. And I looked at it. It was literally just his name down the entire thing. I think he even did some of the music, which is fucking insane. I don't know.
Oh, also, else? The fucking, when they're like, we need to send somebody to go get the hunters, and they look over at Junker and it starts playing that fucking like anime guitar riff, and they're looking at him like, no.
Dude, the sound, can you talk about the score? The score of this movie absolutely slapped. Yeah.
It was great.
But they also, it gets reincorporated though when he goes to fight this thing at the end. Yeah.
With the high velocity bullets. And he's like, oh, these things don't work. Anything else we want to talk about before we get into Five Knuckle Shuffles? It is getting close to kickoff time for the Ravens. Anything else, guys? All right, Five Knuckle Shuffle time. Malik.
I'm going to give it a 7.
Fair.
I didn't love it as much as you guys. It had its moments. Technically, it's like gorgeous. It's incredible. It's like an absolute achievement, especially when I realized that only one guy did everything. Like, that's fucking insane.
It's absolutely nuts. Like, finding that out blew my fucking mind.
Like, that guy must have just done nothing for like 2 years, except every waking moment be working on this. Like, I thought it was good, like, but like the plot, I don't know how guys did a synopsis of it. Like, I found it impossible to try to keep up with it. Like, I was there with a lot of the jokes and like them calling him God and like, oh no, our God. And like stuff like that. I thought it was really funny, but, just it's a fucking masterpiece as far as like stop motion, like, and legit stop motion, not like computer animated stop motion.
Yeah.
All by hand.
Absolutely crazy. Like, how could somebody, I like, there's a lot of things I can't wrap my head around, like, in this planet, but something like this might be like one of the biggest. Like, I physically don't understand how somebody could take that amount of time and put it into something so minute to make a fully action moving movie out of clay figures that they moved like a millimeter at a time.
Especially
to the level of like the level of perfection and like detail in a movie. Like the concrete in this, like the concrete hallways are like dirty and have like like concrete chips in the walls and shit. Like, it's insane. I can't comprehend of the kind of maniac it would take to make something like this. It's almost like the same level as when Sean started cutting Watchmen And he got, like,
I didn't make it nearly as far.
5 minutes in, I was like, this is ridiculous.
Bro, so...
But, like, you told me you were doing that, I was like, I can't even understand how that would work.
You figure a movie is generally, unless it's the fucking Hobbit movie or Gemini Man, is 24 frames a second. So that's 24 pictures he had to take per second of movie. So I read it somewhere. He took 145,000 photos himself to make this movie.
Good Lord.
That's absolutely insane. But, and you know what? It's all on the screen, too. Like, it looks great. Like, I'll get into it when I give my score, but man. Anything else, Alec? Alec?
Gogs.
I'm going to give it an 8. I was like, it's insane. It's one of the craziest visually movies I think I've ever seen. Like, it's a movie that's so good.
Gogs,
with its, yo,
you haven't watched Mad God yet, right?
No, I've not.
Don't know how you'd feel about it, but I would like you to try to watch it.
I will give it a go.
Because and Sean, you can agree or disagree with me on this.
Those Mad are the God, two options.
Mad God. Nice. Mad God.
The two genders.
Mad God is more visually impressive than this, but I think this is a better movie.
Yes, but Phil Tippett is like the OG, like, master of stop motion, so you'd almost expect that. And this guy's fucking never cranking his hog till he's 39 years old. You know what I mean?
It's fine.
Yeah, so eat shit, Takahide Hori.
No, he was giving Takahide Hori a compliment.
No. TJ says eat shit. Sean, to your defense. No, I'll give it a look. I know it's on Shudder.
It's very cool. It's on the Plex, too. It's cool.
If it doesn't work for you, put the Doom soundtrack on while you're watching.
Soundtrack makes most things better. Like, well,
there's no dialogue in the movie, so.
I will say the stop motion animation is so good that I would forget that that's the reason we were watching it. Like, I forgot that this is stop motion. Like, it's like, I had to bring myself back to go, oh yeah, I'm watching all this, and someone painstakingly made every single frame of this movie. Like, it's bonkers. It is visually stunning from a story perspective. It's interesting, it's funny, it's touching, it's sad and tragic and dark. I really enjoyed it. I don't know if I'll need to revisit it, hence the 8. Like, I would, if I was like, it's the problem, we really started too fucking strong with Mary and Max, because that movie's gonna just be like, that's,
it's also a much easier movie to consume too.
It is, but this is something, like, you know, fans of cinema should watch this movie, because it's fucking wild. It's a triumph in what it's accomplished. So there you go. Sean.
Cinema.
Oh, this is a 10 for me, I think. Like, hands up and down. I think it would have to be. Knowing the kind of shit that I like, I don't know, man. This movie's just so perfect for me. I'm captivated. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not over there dicking around on my phone. There's just so much going on without having to say anything. And, you know, that's what movies are supposed to be, right? Like, the antithesis to Kevin Smith. And, like, if you would have told me we were doing a month of stop motion movies and Coraline would be the worst one, I would be very surprised to think that. But that's kind of what happened. Like, I don't know. It's just, there's so many things that this is influenced by that I appreciate. Like, 'cause it's got a very heavy, heavy metal, not the music, but the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing going on. I don't know, man. Like, I loved it. Like, I couldn't look away from it. With Gogs, though, I'm not gonna watch it a million times. This would be I always bring this up because it's so perfectly encapsulates of Baltimore at a certain time when TJ went to what bar did you go to? And they just had Tetsuo the Iron Man on in the background while everybody was listening to bad techno music and tongue fucking each other.
It's funny. Specifically, it was 9:30 Club and it was at a KMFDM show. Yeah, in 19, okay,
so in DC, not in Baltimore.
1998.
Same scene, same diff. You know.
Yeah.
No, this is like what you show to people. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you think, you know, this is stop motion animation. I don't know, man. Like, I was very, very thrilled with this movie. And I didn't know what to think because I kind of cold picked it just based on, like, the cover. You know, yeah. I'd never heard of this movie until this month. So, now nah, this is up there for me. Teebles.
10. I love this movie. It's 10 for me, dog. I loved... the opposite I said about Mega Octopus Lips or whatever. I loved every little bit of this movie. I love world building that is not so in your face, right? Like, I love that there's never like a moment where they stop and they go, well, this is it. Like, I love the brief glimpse we get of the surface world. I love the design throughout the entire movie. The designs are great. The monster designs are cool. The fucking people that you interact, like this movie, it's funny that I think it was Goggs that whoever brought up Oddworld, like, okay, in a weird way this feels like a video game. Like, this feels like a very weird indie video game because all the characters you interact with are very off, but like I also liked how all of the designs, or not maybe all, but most of the designs are like against type, right? Like everything is looks creepy and weird. But like many of the characters are very like sweet and kind, and I going back to Goggs looking for like a deeper meaning to this movie, like I think you could definitely read that like this is about the perseverance of like the human spirit, or like what even mutates into the human spirit, like whatever those things are at the bottom of the earth now, like they're still thriving, they're still, even though like they don't even, I think at one point they say they have unstable genes and that's why. Yeah. They turn into different things, but they're still like forming societies and trying to live.
I don't mean to cut you off, but like, it's also like you feel like there's millions of other things down there. You know what I mean? You only saw like this little tiny bit of what was going on down there.
Well, you don't know how far it goes down. They say that in the movie. They don't know how far down, like they don't even know.
So. But like, it's also like, and I meant to mention this and you kind of reminded me of this or brought it up. There's this interesting juxtaposition of this kind of like nightmarish setting but very mundane activities, like there's just a guy commuting, it's
capitalism,
like he's just walking around like, and he just happens to see this guy to take advantage of, but meanwhile his daily commute exists with spiders that hang from ceilings that could chomp you in half. And he's like, not like on edge, he's not, it's not like the,
well, the hunters in the beginning of the movie, they're not that worried about things. Like, they know what to look out for, and they, you know.
It's not like a Mad Max dystopia where everyone's on, like, pins and needles waiting to get, like, violated.
You can adjust to anything, you know? Like,
that's the message.
It's the, you know, when everybody, you know, it's kind of cliche now, but we talk about people that live in New York City in the Marvel Universe. When that shit's just constantly going bonkers and there's alien incursions and whatever the fuck, and it's just like, whatever, man. I'm still working at Subway.
Iron Man 2 and like all the shit's going on. Liz just looks at me and goes, "Where are the police?" I was like, "Don't worry about it."
Anyway, yeah, I really enjoyed this movie and I'm glad Sean brought it up because I'd never heard of this either, and it was funny doing just a little bit of research of how influential this movie is in Japan and a bunch of stuff. Like, I had read Blame. Like, I think Blame is amazing. Don't watch the anime. It's not that great.
No, but the manga. Nate watched it, and also Quiznos rules and Nate sucks. I just wanted to make sure we're all clear on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Quiznos is the best.
Quiznos absolutely rules. The three pepper chili sauce is the best.
Well, especially now that it doesn't exist. Now we got Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's sucks.
The closest Quiznos to us is literally in BWI Airport.
There used to be one in Halethorpe, but they closed that one. Now that's a Boardwalk Fries.
I like a Jersey Mike's.
Jersey Mike's is pretty solid. I'll give you that.
They're solid, but not like the chicken carbonara from Quiznos. Like,
couldn't beat it.
Nothing's gonna ever top that.
Like, whatever they had, like that honey, that like French dressing honey. It's basically, I ripped it off to make the Fight Club, whatever that like BLT chicken sandwich thing.
Was
like,
one of you guys with me? We went to like a Quiznos after an Orioles game or before an Orioles game, and there was like a 11-year-old Korean girl working the counter.
I don't think so.
I don't remember that.
That sounds like a fantasy that I was not a part of.
Where does that story go, Dylan?
Yeah, where's the rest of it?
Finish it, because it sounds real weird.
No, she rang us up, and some 11-year-old man made our sandwiches while they screamed at each other in Korean, I'm pretty sure.
Love labor laws for that.
What's next month, guys?
I don't know.
It's October? We got to do, like, horror movies, right?
Don't October, all movies about butts.
Wait, get me there. How did we start that? What was the
Proctober, like proctologist?
We could do.
Did we ever do Stocktober? Ass. Did we do that where it was all race cars or stockbroker movies?
No, Stocktober.
Blocktober could be all time films.
We've already done time movies. We've done
okay.
that.
Okay.
What about? I don't know. Why don't we just do fucking four horror movies? We got a name. We need a name. Gogs, you're good at names. Give me some. I'm not. Scary.
Alex good at lame names like this. Boo-tober.
A horror movie October.
Yeah.
Horror movie. The best name so far.
The nailed it. Horror movie October.
Okay.
I'm in.
Dude, that's the best one. It tells you exactly what it is.
I don't know if it would count, but I wanted to watch that ISS movie. Would that be a horror movie?
What is that?
Sure.
Oh, the space station horror movie?
Yeah, where there's Civil War or nuclear war opens on Earth and they're in the space station trying to
That sounds fucking horrific to me.
Yeah. All right. Let's do it.
Yeah. I'm gonna go last week. Just in case Megalopolis Papadopoulos comes out before the end of the month.
I feel like that might be even if it doesn't, that's a special edition. You know what I mean? I'm hoping that it comes out on the internet soon so I don't have to rewatch the fucking thing. All right, so we're going to watch ISS next week. I'm pretty sure that's already on the Plex.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, because I drop in for horror movie October.
Shout out to Izzes.
We're running out of gas.
Next year we're doing a whole new theme, so it's going to be different. So
that's true. Sean, are you aware of the new format for next year?
No, I wasn't invited.
I think you missed that week. So
we're
going to come up with a movie and agree on a movie to start the year with, mm-hmm. and then every week we're going to branch a movie off of that, be either based off the director or an actor from that movie.
Oh, we're going to do a lovely corpse version of Movie the Podcast.
Yeah, sure. If that helps. I don't know.
It's more like one person starts a story and then the next person picks it up off of that and then it goes off of that and so on and so forth.
We're just going to 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Kind of, I guess.
Okay. Yeah. I don't hate it.
Yeah, I like it.
Until we run out and then we'll pick a new movie and...
And then we'll die.
Yeah, or the show's over.
Or the world. Let's be honest. All right. Anyway, that's the show. ISS next week. Go Ravens. Go Orioles. Playoffs start on Tuesday. I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Yeah, can't wait. Anyway, you know what to do. Take that juicy ass, pucker up, bend over, turn around, and eat that bitch. Eat your own ass.
Hey.
You know it. You know it.
Bring it back.
I love it.
Shout out to Nate and his hating on Quiznos, though.
I don't
unbelievable.
Yeah. And his Mumra's roast beef or whatever that bullshit was, all those places he made up.
we found nasty Nate Regolia's first flaw. He did not like Quiznos.
Look, no one's hurt.
I feel nobody's like he nerfing. Said it, but I don't know.
All right, I'm sticking with it. Time to watch some football. Bye, everybody.
All right, bye.
Lada Belch.